Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Vyam Karabhavahai Tejasvinavaditamasumavidvishavahai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. Note 2, page 38. Krishna's invitation to the living entities to surrender to him under his full protection is the expression of his own unreserved love for his personal, eternal parts and parcels. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Krishna loves us more than we love him. We do not love him, but Krishna loves. Krishna loves every living being. He says, Sarva yaneshu kaunteya sambhavanti Murtayo Yaha. Every living being, whatever form he is, that doesn't matter. I am the Bija, Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father. So the father is always affectionate to the sons. The sons may forget the father, but the father cannot forget. So Krishna comes here out of his love for us to deliver us, to give us the right path. Sarva Dharman Parityaja. My dear sons, why are you rotting in this miserable world? You come to me. I'll give you all protection. You are the son of the Supreme, so you can enjoy life very supremely, very magnificently, without any death. Why are you rotting? That is Krishna's mercy. Right, so here is that he's mentioning the point of taking shelter wholeheartedly means that unreserved. That's because he is dealing in that way. He's committed. You know, he has unreserved love for the living entities, so he's only requesting that in return so that you can interact. Right? Because if we're interacting with Krishna on the platform of Brahman, then how does he interact with us as Bhagavan? Right? Does that make sense? And especially if we're interacting on the level of Brahman and we don't even know it's him. Right? So we're just an illusion. So how does he interact? Right? So he's doing all that because of his affection for us. Right, so as we will interact with him, then therefore he's dealing. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's because that's all that will do. You know, you have the relative in the hospital, and they can't remember who you are, and they keep calling you by some other name. Right? So after a while, you just go along with it. You know, like that, because at least then there's some interaction. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's what Krishna is doing. No, we're dealing with him, but we're thinking he is material energy, right? You know, so he's the house, or he's the money, position, you know, family, all these different elements of our own enjoyment. So we're dealing with him, but we think he is the matter itself. You know, so therefore, you know, he'll reciprocate in that way, because otherwise, there's no relationship. Yes. If we look at the context that we've turned away from God, we're not recognizing God. We want to do everything independently, whatever is there of Krishna's, we want to enjoy it ourselves separately. Right? Would that be like a fairly, you know, basic, unbiased presentation of our situation. Yeah, okay. So now, in that, considering that situation, he's created the material world to give us an opportunity to do that. He's given the scriptures to give us direction. He comes himself as incarnations. He sends the spiritual masters and other authorities. So would you like to rephrase your question?
Just need a perspective.
Okay, yeah. So in other words, he's in the masculine position, so he's already taken the first steps. He's just waiting for us to respond. Is that? Huh? Yeah, so we tend to forget, you know, like that. You know, because there's so many other things going on, so many important things. You know, we'll do something. And, you know, they say, you know, the man's just, you know, got his raise, or not a raise, or a promotion or something at the office, so he's very happy, you know, he wants to come home, share that with the family. But when he walks in, then there's some insanity going on, because, you know, the lady next door, then she's, you know, made these claims and all that, and, you know, she's very envious and jealous and all these kind of things like that. So basically that'll take up the whole day, right, the rest of the day, you know, and then the next day is because he's just recovered from that, then naturally she'll be doing something that she'll want to do to kind of make her feel peaceful and all that, and then by the time that, you know, adjusts out, then the moment's gone, right, you know, so then, okay, you know. Yeah, okay, you understand, so that's what's happening. Krishna's making all those things, but, you know, we have our own important things happening, you know, like that. So therefore, we don't notice all the what's going on. Yes.
So can we say that in the spiritual world, Krishna is like active, and then in the material world, he's more like passive? You know, like he's...
Well, because there's a response. It's not that he's more active. I mean, on one level, if you're just taking in principle, it's not so much that he's more active, it's that the living entity is more responsive. Therefore, it appears more active, because more things are going... means he can play his flute and the gopis will come. Right? You know, and then he'll tell them to go home and they'll get upset. You know what I'm saying? So there's immediately something happening. But it's with him as a person, so he can interact. Does that make sense? But because they're dealing with himself as Bhagavan, the quality of interaction is unlimitedly greater. Right? Because we're only interacting with the Lord basically on Brahman and Paramatma. The amount of his potency or his qualities, you know, or his personality, it needs to be manifest is very, very small. It means, you know, like we were saying this morning, you know, Krishna coming as, you know, your fancy car. I mean, how much potency does he have to put in to make the car look attractive? Right? It's not much. Right? You know? Like that. So, the whole material world's like that. It's only how much does it take to make the leaves look nice and the birds to twitter nicely and, you know, I mean, how much does that take? It doesn't take much. Because that's all the more we're looking at. But when we're accepting him as a person, he can act in that way, you could say. Yes, and that's more. But we see it's because of the affection. You could say the activities are even more great and more intense because of the acceptance of him more as a personality as opposed to him being God. He's in Vaikuntha, he's there, he's active, he's, you know, he's interactive. He's doing things. But in we see in Goloka, then that interaction's more, his activities are more, the variety is more. Right? You know, in southern Vrindavan, it's the maximum. Is that so?
Is it a proof of that Krishna is loving everyone because he is impartial to everyone?
Because he's in?
Impartial.
Yes, he's impartial. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Impartial means is that he's willing to interact with everybody, but it's just depending upon how they interact with him is how he can respond. So Therefore, he's equal to everyone, but he shows more favor to the devotees simply because they show more interest in him. So he can respond. So his mercy can be expressed greater. It means for the other living entities, there's a limited amount of expression of a limited amount of expression that can be there for his for interactiveness. Because if you do something and someone doesn't respond, then what do you do next?
Ignore.
You wait.
Hmm? Oh, I'm just
huh? But is that the masculine technique or the feminine?
Feminine?
Good call, good call.
Sorry.
No, yeah. But the feminine, when you ignore, are you actually ignoring? Because the kid is just doing whatever he's doing on the side of the road. He's ignoring everybody. But everybody can go on, right? Because he actually is ignoring. He's not in a malicious way, he's just ignoring. But when the woman ignores the man, can the man just go on and do whatever he's doing? No, because she's ignoring, but she doesn't emotionally disengage. So it just means she's not interacting, but she has full capture of the emotion. So he can't move. You know? I think in Chinese, how you say it? Martial science is called the kiss of the dragon. You can't move. Yeah, so that's what they do emotionally. Yeah. Okay? Like that. So, the feminine can never actually be, it means independent. It's always dependent. So even though externally it appears, it's not. Right? So for Krishna, who is masculine, there's no, you're not fighting over who's in charge. He already is in charge. So for him, it's fun. Right? But on the material platform, when you have two souls that are feminine, right, but they both think that they're masculine, that they're the controllers and enjoyers of the material world, and then one an acts that control as in the masculine form and the other in the feminine form, then you have a problem. Right? Because that's actually what you're dealing with. Right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, three. In Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sri Krishna is inviting the living entities to enter into an intimate, loving relationship with him. I think it's more important to remember 18:66 than 10:66, right? Because I was in high school in the first day of history class. The teacher wrote in like 1 meter high numbers, 10:66, and he said, if nothing else, if this is the only thing you remember from this class, I'll consider it a success. Right? And so that's the only thing I remember from the class.
What happened in 10:66?
In his explanation, it's the only time that England was ever defeated on its own soil by enemies.
The Vikings?
Somebody, I think the French. I think it was the French.
But you never
the French.
Again, so.
And then they became the kings. So after that, then the kings were, you know, so much of the French lines and that. So then, that's the, like that. So somehow, why he chose that one instead of something else, you know, like, you know, the birth of Jesus, or, you know, collapse of the Roman Empire, you know, anything. I don't know, but why that one? But somehow, whenever I get something that ends with 60, especially here, 1860, it reminds me of that 1060. What to do. So this one's a more important number. Right? When the living entity surrenders to the Supreme Lord, as opposed to when England surrendered to the French. Important, but not as important as this one, right? Okay. In Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sri Krishna is inviting the living entities to enter into an intimate, loving relationship with him. So he's inviting, so he's not demanding. But the point is it's not, there's no compromise, it's the only way that one will be happy. You know, it's just like, you know, we're recommending that you pour the water on the root of the tree if you want the leaves to prosper. You know, you can do whatever you want, but that's the only way it's going to work. But he's just doing it in a nice way, so he's inviting, you know, like that. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Everyone has prema, love. This propensity to love others, that is, there is everywhere. But that prema, that love, is originally for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti. That is the original prema. But because we are illusioned, that prema is being applied or used for so many maya. Prema I have got. I have got my love. That is a fact. But I do not know where to repose that love. That is my misfortune. Therefore Krishna says that sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. You have got prema. You apply it to me. Then you'll be benefited. Prema is already there. You are simply misusing it. Therefore you are not happy. This is the process. Prema, you have got, but you are misusing it. But if you take Krishna's word, that give me your prema unto me. So here now is also another aspect, another part of the picture, that the living entity is always liberated, so they're always on the transcendental platform, though they, in illusion, think that they are matter. Right? And then their attachment to matter. And they're all God conscious, because all they're conscious of is what it is that attracts them about material energy, right? Either in the way of identity and activity and results, right? And now we have the thing is that they all have prema, you know? But it's being misapplied because they think that prema is being applied to the matter, when actually it's being applied to Krishna, but you're dealing with Krishna as matter. Mm-hmm. Right? So the living entity's position doesn't change. So when we say in the process, you know, of shredded of prema, prema means when we've fully applied that natural propensity of prema to Krishna alone, not to Krishna and something else. Right? Does that make sense? So then here's another piece of that. You know, Prabhupada's revealing how, you know, the reality of what things are. So it's quite interesting. So, yeah. So everybody's liberated, everybody's God conscious, everybody's attracted to Krishna, and everybody's expressing their love for Krishna. But none of them understand that's what they're doing. Therefore, they're an illusion. Right, so the quality of exchange is very, very minimal. Right, like that. So now, if that's applied for Krishna, to Krishna as a person, then it becomes unlimitedly special. Yes.
So then, when jivas are an illusion, then they experience all that, but they are not happy anywhere.
No, because so that's why we don't call it prema. It's prema that's misapplied. Just like you have a lot, the sunlight, and it's coming through the stained glass window. It comes out all these different colors. So we'll identify it according to the color, right? We don't identify it according to the sunlight. Does that make sense? So yeah. But it doesn't mean that that's what you're not dealing with. Just like the soul is conscious. That's the inherent nature of the soul. But, unfortunately, he's not conscious of himself and his relationship with the Lord. He's conscious of dead matter and thinks he's dead matter and that him as dead matter and the other dead matter have a relationship. He doesn't understand that it's actually him as the soul and Krishna, you know, in the form of Brahman and Paramatma, that he's actually interacting with. So still, the soul being Satchitananda, that's why he's also looking at everything from he wants to be happy, you know, which is in that aspect of prema, because happiness comes in that interaction eternally, right? But unfortunately he's applying these two aspects of eternality and bliss to the material energy, which is dead matter and temporarily manifest, so therefore it's not possible. So he just has to He doesn't have to, that's why he doesn't have to actually change what he's doing. you know, he has to change the mentality. Because everybody has a nature, right? Has senses, you know, intelligence, mind, you know, performs activities, has an identity, all these different things. That's inherent with the soul. But he's misapplying that to material energy. So now it's a matter of giving up applying it to material energy and applying it to Krishna. Right? Applying it on this transcendental platform. So there's techniques for that. So therefore you have to remove the identity from the material and establish it in the spiritual. Remove, so each thing, you deal with each thing. If you can deal with the whole thing at once, better. Right? So if you just understand the surrender to Krishna this moment, that's the best. You've gotten the, you know, in other words, if you can just do the whole thing at once, nice. But if not, then you do it part by part, you know, like that. Does that make sense? You can be cutting the vegetables and the water's on boiling and, you know, you've turned on the oven and all these things can be going on. But if you can't accommodate that, then, okay, then do one thing, then when that's done, the next, okay. But it'll just take a little longer. Right? You know, 5 hours to cook lunch instead of, you know, 45 minutes. Yeah, so. Is that what I think? Yeah. Gita Rahasya and Charan Shloki summary. Oh, we're at the end of the section. 11.11.33. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. Because even if they don't know all that, who cares? You know, there's, let's say there's some big man, you know, very powerful, very influential, very, everybody knows him, and he's sitting on some, you know, some bench somewhere in the park, and some little kid comes up and starts talking to him and interact. Kid doesn't know who he is, but it doesn't matter. If they have a nice relationship, then this man will consider this relationship with this kid, you know, as very valuable. You know, and so every time he'll come into the park, and the kid will come, and they'll talk, and he doesn't know who he is. You know, doesn't care, just to have a nice relationship. You know, we'll talk about something, you know. Does that make sense? So for Krishna, then it doesn't mess. So if they may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. You know, but it doesn't matter. If they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. Right? So that's the point. It's just, you just love him as a person. Everything else doesn't matter. Right? You know, because it's just like there. The gopis aren't known as great scholars and this, and they just love Krishna. Right? Same time, you wouldn't want to get in a debate with them when they come here. Srila Prabhupada answers the doubt about Bhagavad Gita 1866. The doubt may be expressed thusly. Why, if Bhagavad Gita 1866 is an essential verse of the Bhagavad Gita, did Lord Chaitanya say, this is only external? When this verse was quoted by Sri Ramananda Roy during Ramananda's explanation of the ultimate goal of life. As I told you, Ramananda Roy, the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy proposed different steps of spiritual advancement, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is good, but this is external. It is not very effective. Even sarva-dharmam parityajamam ekam sharanam vraja. That also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is also not effect. It is not effective for these gokaras. Okay. Otherwise, it is effective. But in the beginning, they cannot. Otherwise, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is plainly said, sarva dharmam paritya jamam ekam. Who is taking it? Nobody is taking it. Therefore, it is not effective for the gokaras. I think gokara means ass, yeah.
I think it's from the verse when they go to the holy place and they just go to drink rather than.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I heard the explanation, and I said, it's called the simple ass. It's a very special ass that is found in Afghanistan. It's particularly cinema.
Oh, okay.
So he said it's not just ordinary.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, because they're
found in special ass is found in
Afghanistan. Because that was Gandhar. That was kind of as far as your normal manifestation of the whole kingdoms and everything went was as far as Afghanistan. Then after that, it's all desert and stuff. So then you wouldn't see. So basically, either people stayed this side of the desert or went that side of the desert. Like that. So that was. Okay, so I mean, the ones in Vrindavan are pretty pretty dull, at least in the winter. As I mentioned, they used to. Sarab Maharaj was saying that when they were constructing Krishna Balaram temple, to get them to move, they'd have to start a fire underneath them. Because otherwise, you push them, you could pull them, you could whack them with a stick, they wouldn't budge at all. But you start a fire, and then they kind of figure out. But once they're moving, they'll keep going the rest of the day. But until then, it's. And so then these are more than that. So that's really special then. Therefore, it is not effective. If you instruct a dog, my dear dog, please surrender to Krishna. What will he do that? No. Once I sat down with the dog, he was sitting there. I started preaching Vedanta to him. He was just looking at me. And he sat there for about, I don't know, 30 seconds or something. And then he just got up, moved over about, you know, a meter or so, and then sat down again. You know, went back in. He just, you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know. So, no, the dogs, they don't, they don't take it very seriously. So similarly, a human being who does not surrender, he is no better than the dog. What is the difference between dog and this human being? Gokartas. The cats, the dogs, they cannot do. And if you human beings, they cannot do also, then what is the difference? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam shamanyam etad pashubhir naranam. Simply eating, sleeping, sex life, and defending. These are common things of the cats and dogs and the human beings. Human being is especially benefited when he surrenders to Krishna. Otherwise, he is cat and dog. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that these cats and dogs, they are so degraded. They cannot understand what is the meaning of surrendering to Krishna. They cannot understand. Therefore, he said, Eko bahya age kahara, no, ka, kahara. This is external. Please speak more, something effective. So now here Prabhupada is also bringing out this aspect of two things. One is getting to what's more and more intimate in understanding Krishna, but at the same time he's getting to what's more and more effective. So the interesting thing is that in the Kali Yuga, what is actually the topmost platform, that's the only thing that's effective, because then you're just dealing with the transcendental. The other ages you had some quality to deal with. A major amount of piety to deal with. So then based on that and intelligence and association, then they could progress in a process. But in this age, the qualification is so minimal that the only way is to be given the topmost. That means you're just always hearing and chanting about the Lord. Right? Because in other ages, that you're hearing and chanting, but it's through the meeting of a yajna or meditation or through the deity worship. But here it's just directly that. No other via media. These other things that are added to that, then they are effective. But as we see, it's because we're hearing and chanting. Therefore, then yajna can be there, deity worship can be there, you know, absorption can be there. It's not on its own. It's only when there's hearing and chanting. So then the Sankirtan is the highest. Because that's what, you know, the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of the spiritual world are doing. They're just always hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yes.
This verse from Bhagavatam, it mentioned the worship with unalloyed love. So is that what the verse from the Gita 1866 is talking about, or is it just pure love?
Yeah, it means unrequited, unalloyed, or same. It just means there's nothing else, as we discuss it. Unrequited, that means unrequited, no, but what's the other? Unreserved. Unreserved means you're not keeping something for yourself. Unalloyed means it's not mixed with anything. It's basically having the same its purpose is the same, just this, you're taking different aspects, because you have someone, Abhideya and Prayojana. So one's dealing with one, one's dealing with the other.
So that means this verse of the Gita speaks about no selfish motives whatsoever?
Yes, well, because that's what surrender to Krishna means, is it's fully only for Krishna. So if you take whatever's favorable to Krishna, accepting what's unfavorable, rejecting, so what's favorable is pure love, and what's not favorable is anything other than that. Does that make sense? You know, all activities, body, mind, and words are 100% engaged in Krishna's service for his pleasure. Right? So that would be taking each aspect. Does that make sense? You know, so then your identity totally is a servant, not you're a servant and something else. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore,
Then this is an example of why Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna, because he doesn't care about our qualification. One had to approach Krishna when he advented, but Lord Chaitanya is chasing after the living entity. Is that?
Yes, because that's just what you can do. It's like we said, the masculine principle. You can take that step and then wait for a response.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the man's done something, the woman's ignoring him, right? But other women, they don't have that problem. They can just step in and interact. Does that make sense? You know, the wife's not talking to the husband, right? So it doesn't matter what he does, it's as if he's not there. And the mood is grumpy, right? The phone rings. She picks up the phone. Oh, hi, yes, and all chirpy and everything like that. And so it's kind of like, what's going on here? And then as soon as it's over, bang, back to the... Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
So that means the feminine can just walk in at any time.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be from the previous. If you look at it, another angle is that the Lord has said as you surrender, he'll reciprocate, but the devotee doesn't make that claim. That's Krishna's promise. Not the devotee's promise. The devotee's promise is, even if you're an illusion, want to be an illusion, we don't care. We'll somehow or another figure out some way to wake you up. Krishna makes all the arrangements that you could take advantage, but you know you don't notice, so we'll come around and point them out. Does that make sense? So that's why the preacher is so dear, because he will do something that Krishna is not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because, see, Advaitacharya, he is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making arrangements, but no one's responding.
Mm-hmm.
So the only one that can uplift the living entities is the Lord. It's only by his instructions that it can be uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's only by his mercy that you can get liberated. But the point is in that mood, as the Lord, it's voluntary. But Lord Chaitanya, he's taking the mood of the devotee. So therefore, he's not bound, restricted by that. So therefore, he'll go out, do Harinam in the streets and everything, where you were not planning on getting up today and accumulating some bhakti agyata sukriti. You know, that was not in any way your plan. But for the devotees, that was the plan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference, the devotees.
Does that connect with masculine is in the detached position, but the feminine is the attached, so we're attached to bringing people in, whereas Krishna says...
No, because he's attached, it means that they're, but he's neutral. So he'll only interact as... That means he's the love is there, but the point is that love is... It's not expressing a need,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it has to wait. It has to wait on the response of the feminine.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't it so that this
particular
kind of yoga is also
very
special because Lord Krishna
is one of the Lord Chaitanya? Yes, it means that Swayam Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya. In the other ages, it's Vishnu will come as Lord Chaitanya. Does that make sense? So in other words, they'll do Harinam, but then everyone will go to Vaikuntha. Right? While in this age, then everyone can go to Goloka. So that's the difference. That's why it's special. But otherwise, the process is the same. Because you see, all the sampradaya is to Hari Nam. Like that. It's just they may not put as much emphasis on it as we do. But they all do. Yes.
Why in such a degraded age the people are given the highest thing?
Because it's the only thing they can understand. It's just like, let us say you want to explain some, you know, very technical point to a child. You can't give them any details, you can only give them the principle that anybody can understand. Details, they need more maturity. Right? Does that make sense? If you're dealing with adults, then generally you go through all those technical points. Does that make sense?
In other ages also this could have been given. They could have understood.
The thing is why are they in the other ages?
So is that attachment to mode of goodness?
Yeah. Means that they like that environment of having all these, you know, good qualities and manifesting these good qualities and everything. Does that make sense?
Is it possible to connect this to the tree reflecting in the waters, that the topmost point of the tree is the conjugal rasa of the Lord? And that's why the topmost thing is what's given to us, because we're in the bottommost position.
Oh, okay, you mean saying in Kali Yuga we're the lowest, so therefore only the topmost can catch it. Yeah, maybe.
Because it seems, because Ramananda Roy, he begins with Varnashram, he's saying, you know,
yeah.
Purushavach, yeah. But that's rejected right off the bat.
You know, and here Prabhupada's pointing out why it's rejected, because it's not effective. Mm-hmm. You know, one, as far as tasting that rasa, it'll be less effective there.
Yeah.
And two, as far as uplifting the living entities, it's also less effective.
Yeah.
So from both sides, right? In other words, Lord Chaitanya is dealing with two aspects. One is that his own taste of serving Krishna, but also the others becoming involved. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, the Sankirtan means, like I said, there's the external and the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent. So external is to save all the living entities. Internal is to taste that love for Krishna himself, right? So the external is to give that to others, mm-hmm. right? But some make it sound like it's two different things, like the external is not very important. No, the external is just giving the internal to others. That's all, the sharing it. Right? So they're both cultivated, right? If you have something, you can give something, right? You can't go out on food distribution if you don't have any food. You know what I'm saying? So the idea is that you're cultivating your own Krishna consciousness, therefore you have something to give to others. And since Krishna consciousness, anything connected to Krishna is perfect, therefore, no matter how little Krishna consciousness is there, it's still perfect. It's still worth the whole, you know, material creation, you know, can be put on one side and this little bit of Krishna consciousness on the other, and still Krishna consciousness has more value. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why even the newest person can preach, because they have something to give. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's recommended the Brahman is studying and teaching, because then one is more contemplating these, so then one is developing more. That's the idea. So that's why study is important, why discussions are important, these things. Mm-hmm. Because then one starts to think about these things. Because that was the point we made before. Simply desiring that, this is the qualification. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not because of your good work or because you're so intelligent. It's because you desire it. But by doing good work, you'll get knowledge and detachment, so it's easier to desire it. Right? If you're desiring other things, it's very hard to desire Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? And by using analytical, then you understand what's not Krishna and what is Krishna. So therefore, understanding the difference, then you have a tendency to want to know Krishna. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they're only there as impetus to try to create that desire to serve. Mm-hmm. Right. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's something separate. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So Gita Rahasya and the Chara Shloki. So about being the devotee and surrendering. So that's the point, is that surrender, so you have to find something that's going to work in this age. So it's just, that's why the holy name, therefore, is the topmost. On both platforms. The topmost in effectively getting people connected to Krishna consciousness, and the most and the highest gives the highest taste. Okay, the fifth essence, the essence of spiritual endeavor. Is this the last of the essences? It is. Focus on the purport of Bhagavad Gita 11:55. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna local planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the supreme personality, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual essence and his eternal relationship with the supreme spiritual personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. Okay, notes. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are indicated by the phrases how one can understand his spiritual existence, his eternal relationship with the supreme spiritual personality, and how to go back home, back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Okay. Madhyalila 20:143. In Vedic scriptures, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Sambandha, Krishna's service, Abhideya, and love of Krishna, Prayojana, are the three great riches of life. So that's being pointed out here. So this aspect of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right, so this is, in other words, this is what the essence is to try to get to this understanding. This. No work should be done by... next part of the purport. No work should be done by any man except in relation to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. So that's point, because we'll say, everything's for Krishna, so who gets the profit? Yeah, like that. So that's the point. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there, but it's understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. So it's not that you're not involved, it's just that it belongs to Krishna. So since it belongs to him, you want to deal with it according to how he would want it being dealt with. Does that make sense? If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land in India, at least any poor man, has a certain amount of land. Right, that's the thing. The poor man's got the land. The rich ones are the ones that don't have the land. Right? Any poor man has a certain amount of land, can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer to him. One can sow tulsi plants because tulsi leaves are very important, and Krishna has recommended this in Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushvam phalam toyam. Krishna desires that one offer him either a leaf or a flower or fruit or a little water. By such an offering, he is satisfied. This leaf especially refers to the tulsi. So one can sow tulsi and pour water on the plant. Thus, even the poorest man can engage in the service of Krishna. These are some of the examples of how one can engage in working for Krishna. Right? Notes. The word sambandha means connection. One who connects his worth to Krishna, mat karma krit, is established in a spiritual position. Right. So here's by connecting the work to Krishna, then means your activity itself has become Krishnaized, your goal has become Krishnaized, and then the relationship itself has become Krishnaized. Quotation from Message of Godhead. When ordinary work aims at such a transcendental objective, this work is called karma yoga. By this process of karma yoga, one gradually attains self-purification, then transcendental knowledge, next perfect meditation, and ultimately transcendental service to the personality of Godhead. Right? Mm-hmm. So here then we can see is that when we're defining this, we're still keeping that principle that when we say this transcendental loving service, it means in its natural state, in its pure state. But what is done in pursuance of that is also counted in that category. Right? But it's not technically. That's why then here, when you're taking when ordinary work aims at such a transcendental objective, it means that you were going to do it anyway. You would be going to work. You would have your house. You would have fixed your car. You would have done all these things. So, but it's ordinary work, but you're doing it for Krishna. That then makes it spiritual, right? Does that make sense? It sort of spiritualizes it. So you're getting the devotional benefit, though the work is ordinary. Right? So that's karma yoga. Then he attains self-purification, right? Because from karma, activities done, you get purified. Right? So knowledge and detachment are coming. Right? So then transcendental knowledge. Then he'll have knowledge about it. And then because of that, there's nothing else to meditate on except Krishna. Right? So then perfect meditation. And then ultimately transcendental service to the personality of Godhead. So here we're talking about this service means it doesn't stop, it doesn't change. It's that it's always on that perfect platform. So this whole process is called bhakti yoga. But at the same time is it has its stages. You know, the yoga ladder, like Prabhupada talks about. Does that make sense? Okay. It's a very intricate, deep Western raga. I think it's something to do with astrology.
Jyotish,
yes. You know this one?
Yeah, I know this one.
Yeah, yes, I'm saying so. It's a raga on the
nakshatra.
Yes, the arrangements of the nakshatras. Right, and the nakshatras are considered on a level with Brahma in the way of mode of goodness. So therefore it's a very elevated raga. Okay, does that make sense? So this is why sometimes when we're talking about it, we'll be talking about karma yoga as bhakti yoga, and other times when we're talking about that actually it means this last stage. In other words, it's what leads up to bhakti yoga. So it's just, you know, just like cutting vegetables. If the cook is cutting vegetables, then you'll call it cooking. But if the kitchen help is cutting vegetables, you don't call it cooking. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if it's connected to that final, then it's given that aspect. There's preliminaries to that. Right. Quotation from Perfection of Yoga. In the preliminary stage, one is advised to always work for Krishna. One must be always searching out some duty or some engagement. For it is a bad policy to remain idle even for a second. When one actually becomes advanced through such engagements, then he may not work physically, but he is always engaged within by constant thinking of Krishna. In the preliminary stage, however, one is always advised to engage one's senses in the service of Krishna. Because the senses are what you're engaging anyway. So therefore, that's what's going to be connected to Krishna. But when it's more detached, then you're thinking about and that aspect. So then that will be what will be engaged.
Mark, is it also as it age advances, then you know, a person is more inclined to do less physical activity and more like intellectual.
You have that means you have that because this is how you say. when one is young, you know, up to basically the age of 12, then kapha or mucus is the main principle in the body, like that. But that's mixed with air, so therefore they run around a lot. This bag of mucus runs around a lot. But mucus makes for, you know, the fine skin and the more kind of, you know, chubby kind of aspect, you know, that why kids are cute, right? That's kapha. So what you really like about, what's attractive about your kid is all the mucus. Good to know, right? So then at around 12 or whenever they hit puberty, then bile becomes more prominent. So it starts to come, so therefore passion, right? And then I think around 35, then that the mucus that is there then starts to reduce, because the mucus also holds everything in place. So that's why, you know, everything just has a what do you call it? Progressive march south. Everything just keeps going down to the next level, right? You know, fortunately it doesn't end up all around your ankles or something like that. That would be very difficult. So then and also vata starts coming up. You know, so but in this case, it's the mind is active, not physically. You know, so then by the time when it gets old at 50, then that's vata is the most prominent. That's why I think so much and all that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So much of the time, what we define as being senile. You know, they can't remember this and that. But it's not that they're not thinking. They're so absorbed in thinking, they can't remember these just regular stuff. It's not that they're just doing nothing. It's just so much thinking of something else. Right? But it's more intellectual. Like the kids are thinking of something else. That's why they can never remember, right? You know, do their chores, take out the garbage, you know, all these things. They can't remember that, right? Because they're so busy doing other things. With them, it's busy physically. Because the air just pushes the body around. But here it's that the mind is so active. That's also why they don't sleep so well and things like that.
Not so well.
No. Mm-hmm. Like little kids, they sleep very well because they have all the mucus. So they're out cold. You know. You know. Does that work?
Yeah.
So it's just, in other words, this automatically comes. So that's why one should take advantage of these things. That's why early in grihastha life, one is involved in all setting it up, arranging it, and all these kind of things. But you start to connect it to Krishna, you get purified. So the natural thing is by doing that activity work, engaging the senses in that way, which is natural that one wants to do anyway, one gets purified for it. So when it comes to the stage when that is not as important as the contemplation, the mental activities, one already has the knowledge and purification, that the aspect of jnana yoga becomes more prominent. So when one's younger, it's karma yoga. When it's older, it's jnana yoga. Right? And then older than that, in meditation. It just naturally is a progression that comes through. Right? And then it should be at midlife crisis that when everything resets, then you have a doubt about whatever was important to you before, materially, right? And so then the normal plan is therefore you won't give it much importance. You only take just those few little bits from it that do work, continue that, but focus on spiritual life, right? But if one doesn't, then that midlife crisis creates, you know, going off in a new direction, new life, new everything like that. And, you know, it's kind of strange, you know, when you have these, you know, 50, 60-year-olds that are acting like they're in their teens, right? You know, so that's not supposed to happen, right? So that would mean that the other part hasn't been done or established as strongly. So when one gets to that point, then it naturally just starts over again. It means the chakras go in 7-year cycles. Mm-hmm. Seven chakras, so 7 years, so 49. So when you turn 50, it resets back to 1. And then from 50 to 100, then that's the second cycle. But it's supposed to be done more maturely, not as immaturely as the first time. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. These are all the, you know, the mechanics of how. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, why would the living entity, who's, you know, eternally youthful, why would they act as an old person, or why would certain things give emotions and reactions? Because it's all dead matter, right? So therefore, the modes of nature arrange all this, so it all happens mechanically, all, you know, chemically. All these different things happen, just so that the natural thing's there. So someone who wants to serve Krishna in that way, then they have a form that matches that. But here it's just everyone goes through these things just as mechanics. It's that you don't plan it, it's just the way it is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the... So if one uses it properly, then it's very natural. It helps, it becomes very useful in the natural progression of Krishna consciousness. But if it's not, then, you know, it can be a real distraction to one's life. Because one wants to be eternally young and be happy, and somehow or another the modes of nature don't accommodate that. So that's the...
So this process of not working, it's only in Kali Yuga like that? That people misapply the process instead of...
No, it means other ages are misapplying, but it's just the mechanics are going nicely, but they're still not using it for Krishna consciousness. So in other words, when they're young, they're good students, they focus on that, they're not crazy and do other stupid things. Then they get married, they're very responsible, they do all their duties very nicely. Then they, you know, retire, you know, in a dignified way. You know what I'm saying? So, one, they have the piety, and two, so, you know, and the proper mentality. So there's no need of, like, plastic surgeons and other things in other ages.
Yeah. They look good anyway, or they just don't bother?
They look good anyway, and they don't bother. So both, because the point is one looks good because of piety. So if one doesn't look good, then the best thing is to improve one's piety. Other things, you know, may or may not look, you know, as long as the other ones, as long as you're smiling, it looks okay. But as soon as you stop smiling, then it gets really freaky. Like that. That's the problem with these other methods. But piety, then it's always nice. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like a baby. They look cute, right? But their head is huge compared to the body. You know, it's like half their body. You know, but still they look okay. Little dinky arms and a big monster head. But they look cute, right? Because of the mood. So that's the thing. You change the mood. You have a pious mood, then it'll always be attractive. So the point is in other ages they're pious, therefore they're always attractive. And they, because they're pious, they always do good work, therefore they always have attractive features. Okay. That's why you see is that, like, it's the tradition to always engage the girls in pious activities, nice things, you know, always nice, you know, like when Arjuna was staying in Dwarka as a sannyasi, then Balaram would, he was Balaram's guest, but Balaram would engage Subhadra in serving the sannyasi, because that service will get so much piety. And if there's so much piety, then they'll always have facility and a good life and not problems. So it's always the tradition that the girls are always engaged in all, you know, as much as possible. And they like it because they know that then you get good results. You know, so that's why I said that. It means, how you say, women may be less intelligent, but they're so much more clever. Right? You know, I say, you know, like you have, the man is intelligent, so he comes up with, you know, your socialism or communism or, you know, democracy or all these things. But the point is what's the benefit? So that the men involve themselves with theirs. So they're more intelligent but less clever. And the women are more clever because they're just involved in things that get immediate results. Because it doesn't matter who runs the government as long as you have your facilities. What's the problem?
give some example of the intelligence, active intelligence, and the lazy intelligence, and the foolish, the active foolish and the lazy foolish. And the active foolish would be the most dangerous.
Yes.
And the lazy intelligence would be the best.
Yes. Because lazy intelligent means you're so intelligent you can see a bigger picture. And you therefore can engage other people in all the different aspects to get it done. Active intelligence means you have to do it yourself. Right? So it's either you prefer it that way or you only see that much so you get it done. But this one you can see the point where you can see what has to be done and get others to do it. Right? So the foolish person, he is just, you know, therefore just engaged in foolishness himself. You know, so he's doing nothingness, right? Then it's bad, but it's not so bad because he's just only affects himself. But if he's active foolish, then that starts to bother everybody else. Therefore, you see, as if they want to make a comedy, you always use an active fool, not a lazy fool. Because active, lazy fools, you know, there's nothing happens. But active fools, something's always going to be happening. So that's a very popular theme in Western, well, even in the Vedic, you have the Vidushak, the Joker. He's always active, so therefore.
But he's usually smarter than the king.
That's another thing. That's in the Vedic. In the Western, not necessarily. No, sometimes they are. Yeah.
The older ones.
Huh? The older ones, yeah, are. Because there was that one. I think it was Henry VIII. He had a joker, and he would harass him like that because he got so upset that he wasn't ruling the king, that wasn't doing anything, and he'd harass him and sit on his throne and do all kinds of stuff until finally, after I don't know how many weeks or months, he finally got him enthusiastic again. But only the Joker's allowed to do that. So you'd have to actually be very intelligent, because otherwise you could lose your head if you step over the line. So I guess that's the way to tell. The Joker still has his head on his shoulders, he's smart. He doesn't. And he wasn't. In the preliminary stage, however, one is always advised to engage one's senses in the service of Krishna. There are a variety of activities one can perform in serving Krishna. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is intended to help direct aspirant devotees in these activities. So here he uses aspirant devotees, because basically we're meaning that, you know, that all the way up. So depending on what it is, either at advance we'll say that's more, or but at when you get to prema, right? You know, so then aspirant means everything before that. For those working in Krishna consciousness, there are simply not enough hours in the day to serve Krishna. There are always activities, engagements both day and night, which the student of Krishna consciousness performs joyfully. That is the stage of real happiness, constant engagement for Krishna, and spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. Right, so therefore that connection, everything's connected to Krishna. So you're seeing the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, and you're connecting everything to Krishna. The word Parama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Notes. The words Paraha indicates the Prayojana, necessity, which is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's mission. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya says, Abhidheya bhakti prema prayojana. Prayojana means it is necessary. Purushartha shiromani prema mahadhana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching was based on this principle. Prema pumarto mahan. What is the objective of human life? He said that objective of human life is to attain love of God. So what is the necessity? It's something that you have to have. Right, desire is not necessarily what you require. It's interesting because desires are unlimited. Right, it means you could have, you know, 200 pair of the same shoes and all just different colors and shit and everything like this, or you know, unlimited amounts of anything you could have. Right, but the point is that what you need is something else. What you need is what you work for. Right? So it means of all the purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, they're all necessities of human life. Without dharma, there is no artha. Without artha, how is there going to be kama? Right? And that the problem of dharma, artha, and kama will be solved by moksha. But the real need of the living entity is prema. Because that will solve all the problems. It engages all those. It means he's on the liberated platform, engaged in activities to please the Supreme Lord. So therefore he engages his senses and all his facilities in the Lord's service. So all activities are taken care of by prema. But human life needs dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But it doesn't address the need of the soul. So if you address the need of the soul, you're already addressing the human need. Right? So therefore, it's the prayojan, as he's pointing out here. Mat parama, the prayojan, the necessity. So it's something called necessity. Right? Goal is there. Goal is indicating that there's an action. But necessity is what you require. Right? So because you require it, therefore you'll act. Right.
Yes. Our process is to desire really what we need.
To desire what we really need, which is love of God.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to establish what's real sambandha, real abhidhaya, real prayojana. Right. So the real need is love of God, because otherwise, sense gratification is not actually a real need, because the point is. If you do something on your own, then it is nice. But if you share something, it's much nicer. You get so much more by something that's nice sharing it. So the point is, a sense gratification means it's just you and the senses and dead matter. So it's not actually interactive with God as a person. Right? So maybe interact with God as Brahman, but you're not addressing him as a person. Therefore, he is a person who's not satisfied. So we as people are not satisfied. Right? It means that the Brahman aspect of the soul was the only important aspect, then technically we should be happy. But because we're not, we're persons. Right? Therefore, we're not happy because we're not addressing the personal nature of the Lord and his satisfaction. Right? So therefore, technically, we're not sharing.
Yes.
Which is the natural nature. As you said before, the feminine nature is to share. Mm-hmm. The masculine nature can share or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the feminine nature doesn't share, then it's not satisfying. You know what I'm saying? At the moment, it may seem to be great. You're involved in doing something yourself. But then afterwards, it was so good, you want to share that with everybody. You know what I'm saying? And so then it's more. Does that make sense? Like that, yeah. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Prayojana, it is necessary. It is not optional, compulsory. If you don't take to Krishna consciousness, then you continue to suffer. Therefore, it is necessary. It is not that if you like, you can take it. If you don't like, you reject it. If you reject it, then you will suffer. And if you take it, then actually you will enjoy life. That's all. So you have that choice, but it's not actually that the choice gives the same results. Because we take it that I can do whatever I like means that by doing whatever I like, I will get the results that I like. But it doesn't work like that. You do the proper activity, you get proper results. You don't do the proper activity, you don't get the proper results. Therefore, you have a choice. Right? You have a choice that I can do this or not. But what your choice is, I can do this and get the nice benefit, or I can not do this and not get a good benefit. Right? But we have this illusion that I'll do whatever I want and get the good benefits. It's not going to happen. So that's all. So that's why it's necessary. Everyone wants to be happy. You have to follow it. You have to do it.
Right. So nowadays, even on a material platform, you know, leaders of the society, they don't offer to the general people what they really need. They just, you know, try to you know, no. to deal with their desires, but it's not what they need.
No, because, so, no, the leader, yeah, the leadership in society is dealing with the leadership's needs, but not with the common person's needs. Because the common person's trying to fulfill the desires fulfills the needs of the leadership. You understand?
That's clever.
Yeah. So that's the point. You either lead or you follow. And there's plenty of room to lead. Right? They're always looking for people to help in the leadership. But you have to be able to do it. Right? I think there's a saying, right? There's plenty of room at the top. We make it seem like there's not. There's plenty of room. Because it's like there's a whole world. You know, so there's plenty of room. But it becomes difficult when that top is not connected to the Lord. It's not God conscious. Because then an illusion, then they'll think so many. You know, because otherwise you try to do it alone. You can't do it alone. You try to do it alone, it fails. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's just like, what do you call it? When they were dealing with Europe or with North Africa and all this, then you had all your generals. They were giving direction, and that was generally taken like that. Sometimes a point would be made, or there'd be pressure to get some results, but it was their plan, their strategy was what was applied. But in dealing with Russia, then the decision was made without their, because they said, don't do it. Right? So it failed. You can't do things alone. So that's what I'm saying. There's plenty of room at the top. It's just that you have to know how to balance it. Otherwise, you know, one person can't run it. Even though you have the king, he still can't run the kingdom alone. Right? There's all, we'll come across that later. There's all the different limbs of the kingdom. So he has to have a prime minister, right? He has to have a treasury. He has to have an army. Yes, that's so many different things. With all that, then he can run. But otherwise, if he's one man, how do you run a kingdom? You're one guy. You know? So you have to have all these other things to make it happen. So that's the whole idea, is that there's plenty of space for all this. It's just a matter of understanding. So that's why if one's God conscious, then the common person doesn't know what they want, so therefore you direct them. You know what I'm saying? They have to be directed so that desires are being fulfilled, but not at the expense of anybody else's desire. Right? Because that's the problem, is that the common person may fulfill his desire at some other common person's expense, or at a larger group or the whole society's expense. So that can't be allowed, because everybody's got to be able to fulfill their needs. Does that make sense? So because they're not really looking at it that there's not the God consciousness is not there, so it's just looked at an economic platform. But you have to control that economic platform, so therefore it functions like administration. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Two. In Bhagavad Gita 1868, Krishna promises Parama Bhakti, pure devotional service in the spiritual world, to those who preach the messages of Bhagavad Gita. Note the similarity of terminology between the two verses, 1155 and 1868. Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhaktesh abhi dasyati bhakti mai param kritva mam evaishyati asamshaya. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he will come back to me. Of course, we don't have the other verse to compare it to. In a future printing, we will. I think he's working on the principle that you already know 1155. He knows it, so... That no, but I'm saying it's that it's meant for that level of discussions.
I guess what he means is that the other verse is saying, he who is friendly to every living being certainly comes to me.
Yeah. So here's the explain the supreme secret. So that's friend. So friendship means to preach. Right? Okay. And as indicated by the word madbhakta, he fully engages in devotional service. Specifically in the nine processes of devotional engagement, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with him, and surrendering everything to him. One can engage in all nine devotional processes, or eight or seven, or at least in one, and that will make him surely perfect. Because that was the point before, is that you have your process, and then you have that mood in which it's done. Right? So the process then has these nine aspects, and that mood has those six, that surrender. Right? So the six aspects of surrender, nine aspects of devotion. And so that combination, that's then what would be very strong.
Right.
Yes?
So Krishna already mentioned several times before that the Madhyam platform is actually a very elevated platform. So all this, you know, like a big discussion about being Uttama or not being Uttama is actually not very relevant.
No, because the point is in here, as we see from the comments of the Acharyas, that Krishna is placing Arjuna on the Madhyama platform. Right? So that's what's essential. It means if you have more realization, great, but even you have more realization, your activity is not going to change from the Madhyama platform. Okay. So that platform is the strong platform. Because that is fixed, constant devotional service. From that you can get a taste and attachment. So unless it's fixed, if it's anishta, means it's not fixed because it's distracted by something else, by material desire. So nishta means that's been reduced to a prominence. It doesn't mean that there's not distractions, but it's been reduced to a prominence. You know, so being steady is the prominence.
It's most of the time steady.
Yeah, it means it's most of the time steady, so it's enough that you would call it steady. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like that color in the rug, the dark one. We would call it black. You know, but it's got, you know, green in it, red in it. You know what I'm saying? But it's predominantly black. But now the one in between the black and the green, we'd call that red. But if you look inside there, it's half black. So the red's predominant. Does that make sense? So that's all. Is that depending on what it is? The green also is half black. Right? So, but we'll call it green. You know, that'll be dark green, orange, or green. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, something that's prominent, that's what we'll call it. You know, just like you did something now, and then you also did that 5 years ago. Right? Right? So that's why it's said that you always do that, because it's prominent. Right? Yeah. See? You catch the principle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So yeah. And the nice thing about it, you have all these nine, but even one will make it work. And in the six processes of surrender, then, you know, even if all of them are not complete, still it's working. That's what's so nice about the whole process, is that the Krishna consciousness still works despite us. That's why it's a foolproof process. Right? We're the fools. And so, okay, so then we'll continue. How many pages do we have?
Okay.
We're getting close.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhu. Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhakti Vrinda ki, Chaitanya Thai, go with the Prima.